Hey guys, this is Josh. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Movement Youth. For now, let's head to this week's message at Collective, which is every Wednesday night at 6:45.
Hey, let's give our MCs a hand. Thank you guys for kind of guiding us through the service so we know what's what. My name's Zach, and we haven't got the chance to meet one another just yet. I'm the youth pastor, and I want to make sure everybody knows who everybody is. So turn to your neighbor real quick and just introduce yourself real quick. Say, hey, I'm so-and-so. Tell them what you had for lunch today. As I was thinking about, I can't remember what I had for lunch. Anybody else hungry now? They didn't have lunch? If they sat with you, then you already know what they had for lunch. You're already an expert on the person sitting next to you. Now I'm really hungry. Is anybody else really hungry? Now, like, thinking about food, I'm like, I need to eat something. I need to eat right now. I'm at a stage where I like food a lot. And how many people like to exercise? You like to exercise a little bit? How many of you are like, you don't care? I only exercise so that I can get away with eating whatever I want. Exercise has no point. Can I get an amen? There's no purpose to exercise. You don't need it. Come on, who am I talking to? You guys are healthy people? I'm not going to like make you say something you don't agree with. I was just really trying. I thought I had more faith in you, or I had less faith in you, I guess, depending on the way that you put it. I don't like to exercise. I don't think that really anybody likes to exercise. Some people have tricked themselves into it, but I do that so that I can eat whatever I want, and I can eat a double cheeseburger and just run it off later. I had the best sandwich in my life the other day. What's the best sandwich shop in Gainesville? Publix? Jersey Mike's is a good sub. It's a good sub. It's not the best sandwich in Gainesville, though. Is there another, like, deli in Gainesville that you got to go to? My little brother just said McDonald's, people. That's a Jernigan for you. Where else? There's got to be like a local deli that I got to go to. Subway. We should just pray and go home. I don't know how to recover a service. If somebody says Subway. I had the best sandwich of my life the other day. A couple weeks back, me, Clint, my friend Steven, and Adam, we all went up to the Adirondack Mountains for 3 days. We hiked, and that's in upstate New York. It's beautiful up there, absolutely beautiful. We went up there, and we were hiking. We did, 3,000 miles. No, you guys are just going to take that? No one's going to call a bull on that? Like that, 3,000 miles. Okay, you're listening? Was it 3,000 feet? 3,000 feet of elevation? It was a lot. We hiked a lot. On the last day, we were so tired. We were planning on doing another mountain. We're like, yeah, let's hit that seventh mountain. Let's get up early and go do it. On the last day, we were so tired. Our legs were just killing us. We were miserable. We're like, how about we not hike another mountain? How about we go get a sandwich and walk around some gift shops? So that's what we did. We went to Lake Placid, and we went to this place. What was that place called? It was something it had to do, is themed after the mountain, so it was 46 something sandwich. It was delicious. The bread, you ever get that kind of bread that's got like cheese baked into it? Oh, it was the Asiago. Listen, I don't know what Asiago is. Is that a type of cheese or is it like a brand? I am cheese ignorant, okay? I know it's delicious and you can put it on my bread all day long. It's delicious. I got this sandwich. Listen, we had a really, really good time hiking up there though. It was beautiful. We got any people that like to do hiking? You like to do some walking on for fun? I don't know why, like if someone was like, well, explain, I've never hiked before, what is it? Well, you walk, and then you keep on walking, and then you get to a place, and then you walk back. I don't know why people enjoy hiking, but we had a really good time, and we were definitely Florida people up in the mountains, though. Like, everybody around us could tell that we were from Florida. Everyone around us knew that we were not the pros, we were not the experts, we were not the tryhards. Part of it probably had to do with the fact that Clint was hiking in a bathing suit. I was like, Clint, come on, man, you're embarrassing me. Like, whenever we would complain the entire time we were going. We're like one step, another step, and there were these big lunging steps, and your knees were killing you, and we'd be like, oh, my legs hurt. But then when other people passed us on the trail, we'd stand up straight, and we'd start walking a little bit faster, and we'd, yeah, I'm good. And we're like just going at a little bit healthier pace so that nobody knows we're wimps. Nobody knows that we don't know what we're doing. But it was a fun time. I could definitely tell the people who were pros, though. You guys know somebody who's a tryhard at everything? Like, if they play football, they immediately go out and get the most expensive cleats. If they are playing, if they're joining the drama club, they're like, I read 6 books about acting the other day. Have you read so-and-so? And you're like, I've been doing this my whole life. I've never heard of that. You don't got to tell it. You don't got to point them out. It's okay. We could definitely tell who the tryhards were, because we're walking around with our $15 Walmart hiking sticks, and we were super excited. We're like, we got hiking sticks. We're the real deal now. $15 from Walmart. I'm walking past these people that are carrying like $200 carbon fiber, like gold-plated hiking sticks. I'm like, what do you even do with that? Like, that thing better carry you up the mountain for $200. We're walking around these outdoors shops, like Patagonia, and all these places are just chock full of expensive hiking equipment. And I looked at a backpack that was for like $800. $800 for a backpack to carry things on your body. How many of you, what's your limit on a backpack? What's your limit? You're like, I'll spend $50, $40. What is it? $10. It's just got to hold stuff, right? For $800, you could almost go buy a car and drive it up the mountain and just put your stuff in the back of a car. Yeah, you could buy an old beater. You could. Probably $1,000 for sure. You could get something with wheels on it. I was just astounded by some of these people. Like, I was very, very aware in my sneakers that were coated with mud and water that I was not a professional when I walked past these guys that are wearing these, like $1,200 hiking boots, and they're just, like, coated. And we're trying to tiptoe around the mud so that our feet aren't soaked, and they're just, like, slosh, 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 and they're going right past us because they're professionals. Here's what really stood out to me. I'd never, like, spent time in that area enough to get familiar with, like, the people and the culture, but hiking is like a lifestyle. You know what I'm talking about? How many people, you're into, like, Salt Life or Flow Grown? I went through a Flow Grown phase. You guys even know what I'm talking about? Hashtag Flow Grown, hashtag Salt Life. What else is there? Columbia. Yeah, you gotta rep the Columbia everywhere you go. What? Simply Southern. We got any Simply Southern people in the room? How many of you at least own one of these items? What else is there? There's Guy Harvey. It's a lifestyle. You're like, it's not just who I am. It's not just what I do. It's who I am. You just own it. It was really, really obvious to me as we're kind of like dragging ourselves through the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York, bleeding and shoes falling apart and covered in mud and whining and complaining, that we were not the hiking lifestyle people. For us, it was just a hobby. For them, it was a lifestyle. I want to talk tonight. I want to ask the question, is Jesus for you? And you don't be super judgmental. The sermon was just that bad, huh? I guess he just had to go. That's my little brother, so give him a hard time whenever you see him. I want to ask you this question. Focus. I want to ask this question for you. Don't judge other people and be like, oh, well, I know the answer for their lives. Ask yourselves. For you, is Jesus a hobby or a lifestyle? Is Jesus a hobby or a lifestyle? Is it something that you are going to really invest your time in? Is it something that you're really going to invest your energy into? Are you willing to sweat for it a little bit? Are you willing to strain a little bit for it? This is an interesting question. I was thinking about this. I was actually just looking back at some pictures of hiking that we took, and I was kind of reminiscing, and I thought, you know, I've never thought about that question in relation to our faith, in relation to Christianity. Here's why I want to ask this question, because we don't think about it in those terms. Here's one thing I want you to write down. Anybody take notes? You're a note taker. Round of applause if you like to take some notes. You like to jot something down. Now round of applause for the people that jot stuff down. They take notes. Let's all give them a hand. Listen, you ought to take notes. You pay better attention. You are able to learn better. And some of you are like, I'm only here because my parents make me. Well, it's better to like actually get something out of it. If you're going to be here, you might as well learn something. Write this down. A lifestyle is something that consumes you. A lifestyle is something that consumes you. A hobby is something you can, like, we just flew up to the mountains. We were there for 2 or 3 days. I might do that once a year, maybe twice a year. We were up there for just a little while. We didn't invest a lot of money into this. We didn't invest ourselves. We didn't buy a bunch of equipment. We didn't do, like, years and years or months and months of training, of physical PT to get ready. We were not that invested because it's not a lifestyle for us. It's a hobby. What about your faith? Is your faith something that is a lifestyle? Is following Jesus part of who you are, or is it just something that you do on Wednesday nights? Is it just something that you do on Sunday nights? I don't want this to get into a guilt trip. I really don't. I don't want this to be a, well, if you were really committed, then you'd be at church every single Sunday. That's not the type of sermon that we're getting into. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Because I don't enjoy preaching those kind of sermons. I don't think that's necessarily all that motivating or helpful to anybody. This is not going to be a guilt trip, but I do want us to think about it. I want us to look at our own lives and be like, I don't know, is this something that I just do on Wednesday nights? You know, on Wednesday nights I go to collective, I go to church, or on Sunday nights I go to church, Friday nights are for the football games, and Tuesday nights I've got ballet. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it just something on your calendar, or is it something that you are really committed? Is it in a different category all by itself? I believe if it's a lifestyle, I believe that if it's a lifestyle, it's something that consumes you, that changes you from the inside out. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Hey, some of you guys, some of y'all are so distracted. Turn to your neighbor and say, pay attention. And you're saying it nice, not like in a mean way. Just say, hey, let's focus. We're going to have, hey, I got news for you. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Let's do that one more time. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Thank you. We get excited when we open God's word. But if you're one of the people kind of like me, you're tempted to just kind of look at, quote unquote, look at the Bible on your phone, but then turn over to Instagram, turn over to Snapchat, and then text your friend back, and then, like, before you even realize that half of the sermon is gone, you're like, I swear I was just going to be on the Bible app, or I was just on, you know, what is that, what's the Bible app? YouVersion. I was trying to pay attention, but I got distracted. The devil was in the phone. We got the verses up here on the screen. Say hallelujah. So you don't got to be on your phone, and I know some people are like, I take notes on my phone, but Anyways, Colossians chapter 3, start reading with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is at, seated at the right hand of God. He says, if, say if. That's a big if. If you're really a Christian, if God has truly transformed your life, if you're the real deal. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you the real deal? Here's where the first person that ever asked me that question, I froze in my place. How many of you guys know who Mark Whittemore is? Woo! Mark Whittemore. Oh, yeah. A round of applause if you know who Mark Whittemore is. Listen, and I know you're like, I'm not a Buchholz Bobcat. I do not like Mark Whittemore. Mark's the head coach at the football team for Buchholz. And listen, I'm kind of one of those guys, like, even if I wasn't rooting for Buchholz, I'd still root for Mark, because Mark is one of the most sincere followers of Christ that I know. He is the real deal. I was running track. I was playing football and running track at Cornerstone Christian Academy back in the day. And Mark Whittemore, yeah, we got some Cornerstone people in here. And Mark was the track coach, and he also helped out with football when I was there. And he was really, really engaged. And he is one of the most sincere followers of Christ I've ever met. I'm 17 years old, trying to follow God, but not really committed. He would literally just come up to me. He would come up to anybody in the middle of football practice and be like, hey, are you the real deal? Just like that. Hey, are you a Jesus guy? And his face is like this. It's just like, hey, are you the real deal? Are you a follower of Christ? Do you love Jesus? And it always caught me off guard. And some of you guys are like, that's a little aggressive. I don't know how I would respond. I was a pastor's kid. I spent a lot of time around Christians, and even I kind of froze. I was like, am I a Jesus guy? I think so. And then he would walk away kind of disappointed. He's like, ugh, that wasn't the response that I was looking for. I was looking for like a, yes, I am. You know, he was just so sincere. Ask yourself, am I the real deal? Is this something that I really believe? Is this something that changes me? Is this something that has consequence in my life? Is this something that consumes me? Or is it just something that I've added to the calendar? And I want to take a moment to realize that not everybody in the room is a Christian. We have every single week is somebody's first time at Collective. And I love that. I'm glad that we always have people who are here for the first time. And maybe you're here and you're already bought in on this Christianity thing. You're already committed to following Christ. And you're like, I'm just here to learn some more. Just tell me some more. That's great. But if you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, if you're not sure what you believe, if you're not sure that Jesus is the answer, I want you to realize that there's still something for you to learn here. What is it that consumes you? What is it that defines you? What is it that makes you who you are? When you are a part of a lifestyle, it consumes you, and then you are defined by it, and people associate that thing with you. How many of you got a friend, as soon as you think of them, you think of their favorite pastime? I'll give you an example. I met a guy named Mojo Miller. Mojo Miller. How about that for a name? Janae, can we name our kid Mojo? Where'd Janae go? Where's my wife? Nope. Okay. We'll pray about it, right? We might name him Mojo. Possibly Mojo Jernigan. Maybe. Y'all pray for hers. One day we're going to have some kids. I'm going to name maybe a kid named Mojo. No, Mojo was the coolest guy. He was a surfer dude that loved Jesus. Loved Jesus like nobody's business, but he was very much a surfer dude. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he always talked like this, and we were nowhere near the beach, but he was like, dude, I just can't wait to, like, shred the gnar when I get back home. And he always talked like this. I swear, like, his hair was, like, never... I don't think he ever washed his hair. I spent 2 weeks with him at a summer camp, and his hair was just like this, like, blonde, matted mess. Coolest guy. Everyone wanted to be him, but no one wanted to be him. Everyone wanted to be him, but nobody wanted... They were like, I want to be him, but with a shower. So, like, you know, he was a cool guy. Anytime that I think of Mojo Miller, I immediately think of surfing. Anytime that I'm thinking, man, I wonder how Mo's doing. He's such a cool guy. I cannot help but think of surfing. What do people think of when they think of you? What comes to their mind when they think of you? I would venture to say it might not be what you think it is. I would encourage you to ask some people that. Hey, when you think of me, what comes to mind? When you think... Insert your name. When you think of Zach Jernigan, what comes to your mind? Is it something that you do? Is it like a clothing store that you always shop at, or something that you're always wearing? Is it a sport that you play? Is it, you fill in the blank. What comes to mind when people think of you? Verse 2 says this, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. What does it mean to set your mind on things that are above? Like, do I look up? Do I think, like, heaven, earth, moon, stars, clouds? Like, what does it mean to set your mind on things that are above? What does it mean to think on things that are in heaven? If you'd like to take notes, write this down. Because I always come across this verse, and I'm like, what does it mean to set your mind on things that are above? What it means is this. It means to be preoccupied with the thoughts of forever. To be preoccupied with thoughts of forever. So many of us spend all day thinking about things that are not going to matter the next day. We spend all day thinking, man, what am I going to eat today? In 2 days, you're not even going to remember what you ate. It's not even going to, it will not matter 1 cent, unless it's poison and you're dead. I guess then it would matter. What am I going to wear today? No one's going to remember the next day what you wore. Even like famous people who get on TV and walk the red carpet, like 2 years later, nobody remembers what they wore on that red carpet. What fills your mind? Is it things that are going to matter for eternity? Do you ever think about heaven? You're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. When I die, I'm going to go there. But do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about who's going to be there with you when you get to heaven? Do you ever think about the people that unless you share the gospel with them and they accept Christ, if all things stay the same that they are, will not be with you when you get to heaven? Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I always wondered about that word, hidden. What does it mean, my life's hidden? What does it mean that my life is hidden? Well, first of all, here's what you need to understand. Your life in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are eternally hidden with Christ. You are secure in Christ. There's nothing that can take you out of his hand. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that you have an inheritance that is imperishable. This is a gift of salvation that cannot fade away. You are safe in his hand. And I know I was just talking with a good friend who was kind of wondering, am I really a Christian? I mean, I prayed back like months and months ago, and then another time before that, I prayed that God would save me months and months before that, but I don't really know. That's a common question, and I always like to point people towards verses just like this. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ appears, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. I love that in verse 4 too. Because in verse 4, it says that Christ is your life. What is your life? Well, you're like, well, I'm Zach Jernigan. I am so-and-so. I go to this school, and I play this sport, and I'm part of this church. No. Those are things that you do. But what is your life? If your life is marked by Jesus Christ, if your life is a relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's a lifestyle and not just a hobby, if that's something that consumes you, then I think you'd be able to say, Jesus is my life. Some people are like, oh, football is my life. I love it. Music is my life. I love it. That is never going to last. Don't spend your life on something that is not going to be there in eternity. Verse 5 says this, put to death. The Bible's got harsh words in it. Did you realize this? He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. These were called circulatory letters. You guys know what I mean by that? Somebody tell me, what do I mean by a circulatory letter? They would take these letters. This is Paul writing this one, and he's writing to a group of Christians in the city of Colossae. And he says, hey, when you're done with this letter, go and share it with some other people in another city so that they can read it too, so that they can be encouraged. I want them to hear the same thing. So go and share with the Christians in Lystra and Iconium. I want them to hear this. So they would gather everybody around and be like, hey, guys, we got another letter from Paul. We got another. It's like, hey, guys, Stranger Things is on. Like the season just opened up. Let's binge watch it right now. Another letter from Paul. We got any Stranger Things people in the house? We got any Stranger Things people? If your parents don't let you watch Stranger Things, it's bad. It's of the devil. But it's really entertaining. I got to imagine verse 5, when they're coming through this is like more than halfway through the chapter, more than halfway through the letter. They've got a bunch of people. Just imagine this. They've got a bunch of people who are gathered around. And they're like, guys, we got another letter from Paul. He said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. I just got to imagine somebody's like, hold up. Did he say death? Did he say die? You say put to death? What does he mean? That sounds a little extreme. I thought this was like a book club that you guys meet on Tuesday nights. I thought this was like Tuesday night book club. I could come and hang out. And I wasn't on board with like putting anything to death. That's not what I'm here for. I'm out. I'm getting out of here. I was looking for another hobby. I was looking for another pastime. There's a knitting club next door. I'm going to go join the knitting club. Anybody knit? Anybody knit? I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I'm not trying to. No, you don't. Do you really knit? I want you to knit me something and bring it next week at Collective. You can't lie in church. John was like, no, I got to figure out how to knit. He's going to know. I just got to imagine that a lot of people would come across that word in Scripture, that word in this letter, and be like, I got to go. This is a little bit more extreme than I thought I was getting into. Putting parts of your life to death is scary. Sacrificing parts of your life is scary. Giving up anything in your life is scary. Because as soon as you read something like that, well, sacrifice this, put this part of your life to death. Anything that's sexual immorality, anything that's impurity, that word impurity is the same word that we derive the word pornography from. Any kind of passion, evil desire, any covetousness, anything, all those things are idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. What he means by that is on account of those things, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That sin is what put Jesus on the cross to begin with. Those are things that God takes very, very seriously. He came and died on the cross for you so that you didn't have to experience that wrath, so that we didn't have to take that punishment on our own. Can I tell you something? You can pay for your sins on your own. If you're like, hey, I'm good, I don't need Jesus, I get it, we're bad, but I'm good. You can pay for your sins on your own. Let me tell you what it's going to cost you, your life. It's going to cost you your life. He says, listen, if there's any of these things, get them out. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these things, you too once walked when you were living in them. He says, listen, that's not for you anymore. You're a follower of Christ. Those are not things that I want you to be marked by. This is not what it means to be a Christian. Put these things to death. But putting anything that we hold dear to us is scary. Anytime, even if I didn't tell you what it was, I just said, hey, being a Christian is going to cost you something. If I just left that there, you would still be a little bit anxious. You'd still be a little bit nervous and a little bit, I don't know about this. Anybody ever do some online shopping? You're on a website and you're like, I want to buy that. It looks like the shirt that I want. It looks like the shoes that I want. What bugs the mess out of me is when it won't show you the price. It says you got to click into the cart to see the price. I'm like, that's a joke. We don't play those games here. Tell me how much it's going to cost. Jesus is telling you, Paul is telling you, what he's telling us to give up. And that seems unreasonable. That seems unfair. And you're like, I knew it. Christianity is no fun, and you got to give up a whole bunch of stuff. You've got to say no to these things, and I think they're really fun. You got to say no to this stuff. I can't have any pride in my life. I can't have any of this impurity in my life. I got to give it up. And it seems unreasonable, and a lot of people in that moment will start saying, no, I'm not that committed. I'm not that serious about Christianity. I'm not that much of a try-hard. I was interested in like a little Bible study, but you're telling me too much. I got to go too far. It's costing me too much. Listen, any lifestyle requires sacrifice. Every lifestyle requires sacrifice. Whether you're here tonight and you're like, I'm a Christian, Zach, I'm with you on everything that you say, or you're here tonight and you're like, I'm not a believer. I don't agree with most of what's coming out of your mouth. Every single lifestyle that you observe or have yourself causes you to sacrifice something. If you want to be a pro athlete, anybody in here, you're like, that's me. I'm going to be a pro athlete. I take myself very seriously. Hey, some people are afraid that if they put their hands up, people are going to be like, you're never going to make it. You're not that serious. How many of you guys would really love to play in college or maybe the pros one day? Hey, can we give them a round of applause? Can we give them a round of applause? Nothing to be embarrassed about. And if anybody wants to be negative, that's their problem. But if you want to play in college, if you want to play in the pros, you are going to have to sacrifice a lot of sleeping in late. You're going to have to sacrifice eating whatever you want. You want to be a pro athlete, you don't get to eat whatever you want. You are on a diet plan. You want to play in college even, like you got to watch what you eat. You can't just stuff down the cheese fries whenever you feel like it. How many of you love some cheese fries? I love me some cheese fries. Any lifestyle that you pursue is going to cost you something. So don't look at Christianity like it's unfair, like it's unreasonable. If you want to be a serious athlete, you're going to trade in sleeping in and eating whatever you want for bruised ankles and thighs and knees and busted knees and all this kind of stuff and back pain when you're like 30 years old. It's going to cost you something. I want to keep reading because we're getting behind. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these things, you too once walked. But now you must put away all of these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. I want to skip down to verse 12 real quick because we're short on time. But then he's telling you all these things. Hey, listen, if you're a follower of Christ, you got to give this up. This has no place in your life anymore. But verse 12 says, put on then, as God's chosen people, if you're the real deal, if you're really God's chosen people, holy and beloved, do this. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and bear with one another. Take care of one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Listen, this sounds like a lot. This sounds overwhelming. And you're like, I thought I just had to start coming to church and sing some songs and maybe amen every once in a while. And I bring my Bible or my phone app. It counts, right? Listen, Christianity is not a hobby. Christianity is not a hobby. You won't find any model airplanes here. There's no glue. There's no like little shop over here where we're gonna put some stuff. You got a hobby, that's great. There's nothing wrong with hobbies, but Christianity is not a hobby. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross for the sins of the world so we could just kind of sing every once in a while, maybe like, well, Christmas and Easter, and well, I came to church this one time. Christianity is a lifestyle. I want to ask you to just be really, really honest. Is my faith, is my relationship with God something that defines me? Is it something that causes people to look at my life and immediately think, Christian, follower of Jesus? He's that guy that's always talking about church. Is it something that consumes you or defines you? Is it something that changes you? We were wrapping up our hiking trip, and we were coming to a point where like we were just really tired. Like I said, we just want to get a sandwich. We want to get a bite to eat. We did a little bit of shopping, though. We walked around Lake Placid, and we walked into these gift shops, and it's like a tourist trap. You can only imagine. I mean, like, there's just these shops with trinkets and T-shirts that say, you know, I Heart New York and all that stuff, and Adirondacks. Where I froze for a minute, though, where I thought about getting something, was over next to all of the bumper stickers and the magnets. How many of you guys are one of those people? You got like 25 magnets and bumper stickers on your laptop. You got stuff on your phone, on your Yeti, your Tervis, whatever it is. You got your bottle that you're just carrying. You like stickers. There's nothing wrong with stickers. I'm not about to bash them. You're like, wait, are you about to say something negative? I stopped there for a second, and there were all these really cool bumper stickers, and they all had mountains on them. I think mountains are super cool. I just love them. Some of these bumper stickers said, like, ADK life, hashtag ADK life, Adirondack life, hashtag mountain life, hashtag I heart hiking, hashtag all of this stuff. And some of them looked pretty cool. They were like, you know, the mountain life, hiking, Adirondacks, Lake Placid, whatever. And I looked at them, I was like, I would love to get one of those. I would put that on my laptop. I'd put it on my car. I would just tell everybody, yeah, that guy's a hiker. He's the real deal. He climbs mountains. He's an athlete. He's got endurance. I looked at like two or three of them. Some of you guys are laughing just at that idea. I looked at two or three of them, and I was showing Clint. I was like, what do you think about these? What do you think about these? I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. Because I knew that if I brought that back here, I'm sitting in Gainesville, Florida, where the highest point in Florida is like 500 feet above sea level. We ain't got no mountains. We're not hikers in Florida. That's not what we do. We can go visit those places, but I knew that if I put that on my laptop, if I put that on my car, people are going to be like, that guy's a poser. That guy's not the real deal. Ask yourself this question. Is Christianity something that you could put on a bumper sticker? Is it something you could wear around your neck? Is it something that you could wear as a T-shirt? Is it something that you could let define you? Could you market it to other people and show people who know you and people who don't know you without them immediately going, he's a poser. That's not real.